Our Father and our God, we do bless your name. Thank you for the privilege to once again gather in your house. Father, we pray now that as I preach your word, that you would give me words that I might boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins that we have committed by thought or deed. Cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Create within us a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of thine heart be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy, what a delight it is to be here at Chapman Grove Baptist Church with my longtime friend and brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir. The person of Xavier V. Jackson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bless Amen. You, sir. Amen. Bless you. Our friendship goes back to 1999. At the time, he was at the Great Shiloh Baptist Church, and he was one of our volunteer instructors. I'm doing this job, didn't know many folks, had the privilege of meeting him, and we became fast friends.
Yes, bless you.
And, you know, you can usually count on one hand your true and trusted friends. Many acquaintances, but a brother beloved is rare. And you do your best to hold that person tight and remember them in prayer. And I thank God for him. And why don't you indulge me for a moment and just give your pastor, after 19 years, Amen. A hand of praise. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. He's still here.
Bless
and
you.
He often.
Bless you. Bless
when
you,
I talk with him, it's not too long before he talks about what's happening at Chapman Grove and how pastor and people are running the race and pleasing the Lord. So God be praised for your fellowship as he continues to please the Lord as your under-shepherd. I want to invite you to look at with me, and I thank God for my wife, after 42 years. Amen. Now that's some folks can do 42 days. And that's sad. That's a covenant. You know, but I thank God for her because she's been with me for 42 years. And I thank God I'm not the same man at 25 than I am at 46.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to let you have her talk about the stories and things that we've learned together over that period of time. But I thank God so much for her. 2 Timothy chapter 4 has been on my heart. I want to share some thoughts with you. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy. I'll begin reading at verse 9 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. When you have found it, just say amen.
Amen.
This is what it says. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me.
My God.
Having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antiochus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles may hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to preach from the theme, Handling Hard Better.
My God.
Handling hard better.
Yes.
A few months ago, I overheard a conversation with Kara Lawson. She is the women's basketball coach at Duke University. She said something to her players that captured my attention. I couldn't seem to let it go. It was something like this. We all want in life for things to get easier. Once I finish my junior year, it'll be easier. Once I get this class completed, it'll be easier.
Huh?
Once I'm able to get these bills paid off, well, it'll be easy. And she said, you know what? It never gets easier. She said, life is hard. And here at Duke on this basketball team, when we see it getting easy for you, we're going to make it harder. And the reason is because we want you to become a person that knows how to handle the hard stuff better.
Yeah.
I thought about that thing for a moment, and she said you have to begin to change the way you think. And it occurred to me that sometimes when you come to Christ,
yes,
you are under the misguided notion
that
because you are now a child of God, things are going to get easy. That your marriage is guaranteed to work. That your child will not get strung out in drugs. That you won't have to send money to your child's detention at the bottom of order. I guess.
Charlesville, Alma.
Yeah. You know where. But it doesn't get easier. Life is hard. For the saved as well as for the unsaved. And she was trying to remind them that there's some things you need to do to become someone to learn how to handle hard better. And I believe that's what Paul was trying to tell his son in the ministry, Timothy. Paul has now been in ministry for about 30 years. His life is about to end, and Timothy is about to take over this church. And he's trying to give him some insight as to what he can expect. First, he tells him, you need to remember that you are a soldier.
All right.
And that you are in a war. He said, understand that you're going to have to deal with some affliction, that you're going to have to deal with some difficult times along the way.
Yes.
It's not going to be easy, Timothy. And he tells Timothy to make sure that you don't lose sight of some of these principles that I'm about to share with you.
My.
Because you're going to be handling some people that are not always going to work with you. The gospel will not always appeal to them, and you're going to have to preach anyway.
Right.
He wanted him to know that this journey of ministry is not always an easy one. So one of the first things he tells him is this. Timothy, be sure that you keep trusted friends close.
Okay.
Okay. My.
Notice I said trusted friends. Yes. Folks who you have a track record with, not the folks who loose lips sink ship, not that group, but someone you have labored with long enough to know that you can trust them with what you tell them and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Said Timothy, understand that you need to keep some close folks near you. And then he begins to read the role. He says, remember, Demas has forsaken me.
Yes.
Having loved this present world, Cretans of Galatia, Titus of Dalmatia, these folks are now gone. And look at what he says. He says, only Luke is with me. Don't miss that. He's saying, out of all of the folks that I've met along my journeys and have been there for, only Luke is with me.
My.
Let me ask you a question. Are you someone's Luke?
Oh, my. My. Because
yeah. Someone accused you of being a Luke.
My.
Someone there.
Yeah.
To do life with together.
All right.
Someone to push you in prayer. Mm-hmm. Someone to encourage you. Are you someone's Luke?
My.
Could your name go there? Only Nix is with me. Only Jackson is with me.
My God.
Only Smith is with me.
My.
Can you become someone's Luke?
My God.
And can you be a Luke to someone? You see, it's got to go both ways. It just can't do that. You
right.
Gotta also turn around and be available.
Right.
It's gotta go both ways.
Right.
Are you someone's Luke? Are you investing in a relationship like that? Relationships have had a hard time of late. Have you noticed that? Yes.
Glory.
Friendships, relationships.
Yes,
talk, sir.
See, remember that Luke was with him when stuff was not going right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is a whole laundry list of things that happened to him. I was whipped 39-1, and I was out in the deep. I was stripped of my clothing. I was out in the water all night. I was robbed. And who do you think come up alongside of him and say, bro, I'm here. I know it's been rough, but we still here.
My God.
Relationships take work. It's taken some work for us to hang out together for this length of time.
Mm.
Your pastor, he will send an email, or he'll send those little emojis when it's my birthday or when it's Father's Day. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. He knows how to water a relationship.
Yeah.
Bless your heart, sir.
My wife, bless her. She loves plants. And we got plants in the house, and she in a particular room, she puts them and positions them so that they get just the right amount of sunlight.
Yeah.
When it begins to look a little strange or whatever, she'll move it and reposition it.
Yeah.
But what's the key is not just the sunlight that it gets. It also has to do with watering the plant. Because it can get all the sun it wants, but it'll still die. But if you give it the water that it needs, coupled with the sunlight, it's amazing how it begins to flourish. All I'm suggesting is this. Be sure that you invest and water some relationships that you need and those that are important. You got to water the relationships. They just don't happen on their own.
All right.
Pick up the phone.
Amen.
And when you go out to lunch, put the phone away. And make a commitment.
All right.
For the next hour, we agree that we're not going to touch the phone.
All right.
And we're going to give each other quality FaceTime because life is hard.
Yes.
And I need you and I love you and I want you to push me through this thing called life, that we do life together.
My.
Got to know how to water relationships. Let me give you one thing you can do to first of all, pray that the Lord send or raise up someone that you can have that kind of relationship with.
My God.
Make it an issue of prayer. You pray for everything else.
Yeah.
Lord, send into my life a Christian who I can do life with together, who is genuine in love with you as I am in love with you.
Amen.
Time off of being a Lone Ranger Christian.
Yeah.
That's about the most foolish thing I've ever heard. Here you trying to do life by yourself. Even Jesus had 12 friends. Well, really, 11. But you get my point. Why are you struggling and you catching all this hell? Yeah, but child, I'm just trying to make it. Yeah, you're right. You're trying to make it by your own lonesome self. And he's ready to raise up some people who can help you deal with this thing called life. Tell Satan, no, I'm tired of this. I'm a lousy loner. I need somebody in my life.
Lousy loner. My God.
Yeah, I mean, time out for that, you know? And here's another thing you can do. Get yourself a prayer partner.
All right.
Wednesdays at 8, Willie, and Fridays, my brother and brother-in-law, 6 a.m.
All right.
My God.
We pray. Been doing this for years.
All right.
You know what it does? It knits us together.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
In such an amazing way.
Yes, sir.
I'm praying for their kids. We pray for our wives. You name it, we pray.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And it's amazing how friendships can develop as a result of a prayer partner. So get you someone in your life that you have prayer with on the regular. Because let me tell you what will happen. I know, I ain't speaking that of which I don't know. You won't pray. It won't happen. We always talk about how valuable prayer is and it's important, but we just don't pray. And the reason is because you don't have nobody helping you stay accountable.
My.
It's 6 o'clock. Bro, I'm looking for you. Hey, man, how you doing? Let's talk.
Let's pray.
I'm challenging you.
All right.
Yeah. Water relationships. Pray for a prayer partner and then make it happen. That is what each and every one of us have the capacity to do. Let me move. What else did he tell us? He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works.
My God. My God, my God.
But he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. If we're going to handle hard better, we have to honestly, earnestly forgive folk.
My God.
It's hard to handle hard better with an unforgiving spirit.
Amen.
And then you wonder why the Lord is not answering your prayers and why nothing is being done. An unforgiving spirit will have your prayers bound simply off of the wall. But I love what he says. Alexander the coppersmith was a real rascal.
All right.
And we know what he did. He said, beware of him, for he would greatly resisted our words. He was not a lover of Christ or the gospel. He talked against the word of God. But he said, you know what? I'm going to let the Lord deal with you. I ain't got to cuss you out. I ain't got to put you on Facebook. I ain't got to do nothing. Or Instagram, whatever. He says, I'm going to let the Lord deal with you. Get to the point in your life where you ain't got to be fussing at folk.
My God.
He said, may the Lord, just say, Lord, you deal with it. But see, I'm about 2 steps from West Baltimore, and it don't take much for me to go 0 to 60 fast. So I'm trying not to get a bit. I'm trying to start a prison ministry. You go ahead and do it.
Prison
ministry. Yeah, that's what he says. He says, Lord, you deal with it. You know, learn how to do that. Then he says, at my first defense, when I had to stand before the magistrate, nobody stood with me.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, he wasn't the most congenial guy to deal with because it seemed that wherever he went, trouble followed.
Huh.
So no one wanted to maybe be too close to him because they did not want to be associated with him for fear of what might happen. So nobody was there with him. He said they all, you notice that it didn't say some.
All.
They all forsook him.
My God, my God.
And look at what he says. May it not be charged against them.
Yeah.
That sounds like forgiveness to me.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know what forgiveness means? The word means to send away.
Mm-hmm.
to act as if what happened never ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, they did me wrong, they weren't there, but basically, I forgive them. And I'm not going to hold a grudge.
Yes.
Any grudge folk in here? Okay. Any recovering grudge folk in here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you. Listen, they're the folks that rehash in their mind something that has been passed.
Right.
For different reasons, they choose to keep nursing it and growing it. Yeah, that's right. And whatever you feed the most is going to continue to grow. He said, I ain't even doing that. If they weren't there, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to push it away.
My God.
I can't afford to have an unforgiving spirit. It's the best weight reduction program available.
My.
Just getting all of that stuff off of you.
Yeah.
And saying no more.
That's a good preacher.
What's that? He said, but if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Listen, that's weighty.
Yeah.
I don't need to be in a posture or place where my sins are not being heard or forgiven. And then Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you without malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you.
Yes.
That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's what we need. That's how we handle heart better, when we learn how to forgive. Send away what folks have done. Don't hold on to it. If anything, I want to be in a place of restoration.
Okay.
How can I restore that which is broken?
Yes.
That's what he leans in. When we can get together and say, you know what? That was a little stinky. That was a little messed up. I was
right.
Not at my best.
Right, right.
You caught me at a time when the enemy had me.
Yeah.
But upon sober reflection
sober.
And prayer and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I just want to come to you and see if we can get this right.
Sober reflection.
Have you ever done that and noticed how
yes,
relationship
sir.
Restored?
Yes, sir.
That does nothing but make the devil mad.
Yeah.
Here you ducking and dodging, don't want to answer calls, don't want to go by the person, don't walk near them. You see them coming, you go the other way.
Right. Say on, sir.
The writer of Hebrews said, be careful that you don't allow the root of bitterness to grow and to develop. And you're the first one to know when the Holy Spirit convicts you, when that root of bitterness is taking hold and beginning to sprout up. You're the first one to know it. So, Lord, so it becomes a question of, Lord, I need you to clean me up. Because
yes.
My stinking thinking is not right.
Right.
I know this does not please you. So I need you to help me look more like you. Because you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. And if you could forgive on the cross,
right.
I have no reason nor excuse.
Yes, sir.
And to forgive.
My God.
Listen, nobody's saying act like it didn't happen. No,
right.
No, it happened. And it hurt. But baby, life is short. And I don't have time to nurse that.
Right.
I'm one heartbeat away from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to spend my time worshiping and serving my Lord. So you go ahead and do you, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm past that.
Amen. Thank
Let's
you.
Go get something to eat.
Right!
Right.
Handling heart better. He says something else here. He begins now to take somewhat of a shift in the text. He said, I had to deal with these people avoiding me, and they never went around, and I had to forgive some folk who I thought would be there. I had to turn them over to you. Yeah. Then he says, but the Lord. He said, but the Lord. Have you ever had a but the Lord moment?
Yes.
Okay, you're not feeling it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The doctor said, we've done
all
we can do.
Yes.
What we're doing now is trying to give you a palliative care. We want to make you comfortable.
Yeah.
Because you need to start calling your feet, folks, haven't you? That was 2 weeks ago. But the Lord.
Amen.
The marriage you thought was good and dead. You couldn't wait to get away.
My God.
But then Boo began to look at you a certain kind of way, and you looked at him a certain kind of way, and you decided, well, you know, don't look at me like that. And looked like it was over, but the Lord rescued that which was dead and brought it back to life. Over 30 times in Scripture, you find, but the Lord.
My God.
Every now and then when you run up against some stuff that you did not anticipate or expect. Father, this looks like a but the Lord moment. Can you show yourself strong
right.
in this situation?
Yes.
Can you provide some relief in this situation?
Right.
Or just give me strength to be able to endure what I'm going through. But the Lord. Yeah. Then he says, but the Lord stood with me.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He stood with me. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
All I'm saying is, remember who is with you.
Amen.
Holidays always tough. Stop thinking of mother and dad, folks on passed on. Tough. Holidays are tough. But I have to remember that the Lord is standing with me.
Thank
yes,
you.
They've gone on and they wouldn't come back if they could.
Right.
But I miss them greatly. I'd love to see their face smiling, but they're not here. But what I've learned in my grief, like you, that the Lord is a very present help, even as I find myself, nursing the pain sometimes. Just remember, when situations occur, who is with you?
Yes.
He said, the Lord stood with me. That speaks of the Lord's faithfulness.
Yes, yes.
He's faithful. He's never not available. And see that word, the word stand, stood with me also means, it means to stand to help.
Yes.
He's just not standing, but he's standing
help.
That he might help us.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. How often we fail to realize and understand who is with us? Would our outlook look different if we just were mindful of who is with us? The Lord Jesus Christ saying, baby, I'm with you. Don't you think for one moment that I'm not, that you are not within my gaze. I see you. And you are important to me. I went to the cross for you. He stood with me. I thought about that thing.
Huh?
Like y'all lost some friends over the past 3 years from COVID. Y'all lose some people.
Yeah.
And from the way I look at you, y'all looking pretty good.
Right.
Don't look like too many folks that miss meals.
Right.
And if you had COVID, you were able to shake, the Lord allowed you to shake it off and it did not kill you. It did not take you out. You got to remember, look, if he can get you through a worldwide pandemic, he can can surely get you through the little bit of hell you catching on Monday through Sunday. Three whole years. Lost some folks along the way, but here you are, still here.
Glory.
So he said, the Lord stood with you. Don't forget that, beloved. Don't ever forget who is standing with you to help you.
Thank you, God.
Not just standing with you, but standing with you
to help.
Listen, it gets better. He said, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me to endue with power.
Right.
Okay. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And the reason the Lord gave, God gave him strength is because he had an assignment. It's right there in the text. So that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. He had an assignment. The Lord had something for him to do. So he had to give him strength that he might be able to carry out the task that he had been assigned. He had to let them know about the Lord.
Huh.
So you need to, I'm going to give you the strength that you need so that you can complete your task. Okay. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Man, I almost start running when
My. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
As long as you live, you will have strength from God to do whatever it is that he has ordained you to do. And you don't always know what it is. It might be just another day.
Right.
But he gives you strength for that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th president. His daddy was a Presbyterian preacher. He knew his way around the word. Mm-hmm. He was quite an interesting fella. He had a lot of challenges during his reign as president, financial crisis, but he also had a cancer diagnosis. And he did not want everyone to know about his cancer. So he arranged to have surgery on a friend's yacht. Nobody knew until years later that this man had surgery under anesthesia. Nobody knew. He was always known for being one who was very industry and integrity, a very hard worker. And he lived by this motto found in the Bible, Deuteronomy 33:25. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. He had it posted over his headboard of his bed. It was the last thing he saw each night. It was the first thing he saw each morning. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. He believed that the Lord would give him strength needed for whatever he had to face that day.
Amen.
He claimed that promise.
Yeah.
Here's my challenge to you. Whatever you may be facing, or how hard and difficult it might be, he seems to teach us through the word that as your day, so shall your strength be. In other words, rely upon the Lord to give you the strength that you need to do whatever it is that you have to do. He said, may the Lord give you strength for each day. You know, that will frame, that will reframe how you look at each day.
Right.
I'm for real. I mean, if you wake up saying, you know, as the day, so shall my strength be. I'm gonna claim that promise. And then I'm gonna move forward. I'm gonna do the next thing and expect God to give me strength to do it. I have an expectation. Lord, you said you would give me strength for the day, for my days. I just want to leave you a little something, you know, that you can take home with you. What did the man talk about? He said something about Deuteronomy 33:24. He said, so your days, so shall your strength be. But the more you nurse that thing, and you say, oh, Lord, that Negro might have been on the side. I need to face this day realizing that, and then listen, this is where it gets interesting. I don't know how he always does it.
Right.
And I'm glad I don't. I don't need to know.
Right.
You know, if it ain't your lane, you know, pick it up. If it don't belong, you leave it alone. You God, and I'm trusting you and standing on your word.
Yes, sir.
And that's all I need to do. Elizabeth Elliot, husband was killed in Ecuador, and he was, he was trying to translate the Bible. He was killed. Her second husband died of cancer. This lady said, "I see my tragedy just follows you." She said, "Yeah, it's been rough." She said, "But I learned a time ago there was an old saying, do the next thing." So she said, "I learned in life that as I do the next thing, God gives me strength to do whatever it is I'm supposed to do." So just keep on doing the next thing and expecting God to meet you there. And when he meets you there, just praise him and give him the glory and the honor for his faithfulness. Jesus knew how to handle hard, didn't he? They beat him.
My God.
Spat on him. Pierced him in his side. They marched him through the narrow streets of Jerusalem known as the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrow. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. But God be praised, they took him down from that borrowed tomb. And on the third day, Jesus got up with all power in
his
hand.
Thank you, God.
And if Jesus, if God could raise a dead Jesus, he can certainly help you deal with the hard that you face. There's no secret what God can do.
Yeah.
What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes,
yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.